Got knotted up in the six pack, got knotted up right now. Work it out. Praise the Lord. Thank you guys for being here this night. Let's get into the God's word here. This night's going to be a real simple message. Amen. Recapping on some of the stuff we already have been taught on. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have very important time coming around the corner, the birth of Jesus. Not this Sunday in a couple of days, but the following Sunday. Amen. Where there's going to be a play. The kids are going to be in it, involved, and it's going to be a very, very powerful time. And right now is a real good time to make some good moves, to make some good decisions. Right now is a very, very good time to be wise. Amen. The title of this night's message is Discipleship Always Starts and Ends with Obedience. Just thought of the title and I put it up there. Amen. Discipleship always starts and ends in obedience. It don't just start in obedience. You can have 5 years, 10, 20, 30 years in Christ this night, and you still need to be obedient. A lot of times we can slack because of our experience of the many years we have in Christ. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Discipleship always starts and ends with obedience. Amen? Amen. That's if you want to continue to grow in the things of the Lord and you want to stay on the cutting edge with what he's doing within your life. If you want to just camouflage yourself and just be a church member, well, this message may not be important to you this night. But if you want everything that the Lord has for your life, and if you want everything to take place in what the Lord wants to do through your life and connecting with people, this message needs to be important to you, so important that you actually are in obedience to it. Within the songs, it says, everything revolves around you, Jesus. Amen? Everything revolves around Jesus. There's nothing that does not revolve itself around Jesus. Sister, you can say amen. Let's just keep it down to a few, amen? Not every point, because you're going to get me off this night. Amen? You're my sister. Amen. We talk on the phone and everything. Amen. We're homies and all that. But let me keep my concentration right now. One of the songs with everything revolves around you. And to me, that regards not only the big things, because we serve a big God, but also involves the little things, all the little things. Everything revolves around you. And that's not only the big things, but the little things. Amen? And then another song came in. The last song we says, you are the reason for my joy. See, when I hear something like that, I remember how miserable I was for many, many, many years trying to get joy through a joint, through getting drunk with women and clubbing and all that stuff. I was trying to get joy in my life. I was trying to party. But all the world could give me was bondage. You are the reason for my joy. In my hardest times, I have the joy of the Lord. Because of everything that he was able to do that no one else could do. Today I have the joy of the Lord. And when I hear a song like that, it just strikes me that I knew that at one time I didn't have joy. Even though I had a smile and my eyes were all beady red and I didn't have inner joy. It was an outer joy that would not last. And I would have to continue to feed it and more addiction to get the same results of joy. Until I tasted of the Lord and I found that He is good. And all the time, He is good. Because everything revolves around the Lord. Whether you're looking for Him or not, everything revolves around Him. Everything. As we get into the story, I'm going to be speaking about young David again. It's a one-pager. I'm going to have you guys out of here quick. But I want you listening. Amen. I'm going to be speaking about the little things again. The Lord's really been, just really giving me insight on the importance on the little things that most people, when I say most people, I mean most Christians miss. Because we take for granted the little things. We take them for granted as if they can't help the big things that we are facing today. And too many times, if we're not careful and alert, we're focused on the big things that the enemy is doing instead of the little things that's going to bring us victory. And that's the plan and the work of the enemy, to get you focused on what he is currently doing right now, to try to get you off track in what the Lord is wanting to do within your life. Everything revolves around Jesus. When you get up, when you go to work, when you talk to this person on the phone, you're driving behind the steering wheel of your car, everything revolves around Jesus. He wants to be every part of your life, every breath, every day. Everything revolves around Jesus. Not only on Sunday morning, on Friday night, or Wednesday prayer, but every day, every moment, every breath revolves around Jesus. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, we're going to just read from 1 all the way to 14, amen? Reading out of the NIV. I want all of y'all to be able to see the importance of Jesus within your life. That he's not our Savior that's only there when everything's going wrong that we can count on. But He needs to be a part of every part of our life. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, this is when King Saul was already messing up. He wasn't right before the Lord. And the Lord was looking for somebody to anoint, somebody to empower. And he already had in mind who he was going to anoint and empower. But nevertheless, he would call on Samuel the prophet to go and to anoint the future king, amen, of Israel. As we pick up in the story, this comes way before young David being king, way before Goliath. This is before all that took place. And verse 1 says, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel?'" He was still king, amen? He tells Samuel, "Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to see Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." God already knew who he had appointed. God here this night already knows who he has called to do whatever the assignment may be. He already has the plan for your life. And he's looking to see who he can anoint and empower here this night. Verse 2 says, but Samuel said, how can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me. The Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate. Amen. God already knew who he had chosen already. Amen. He was telling Samuel, I'm going to give you a Blue's Clue when it's the one. I will indicate him to you. He will stand out. You will know. Verse 4, Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived in Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, do you come in peace? Samuel replied, yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, this is David's oldest brother, amen? And thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. So here the prophet Samuel looks at David's older boy in his mind. He says, man, that's the one right there. But then verse 7 comes around. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Tell your neighbor, hey, you're looking good tonight. But the Lord's looking at your heart. Verse 8, then Jesus called Eliab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, nor has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. Every last one, at least Jesse thought he had every last one pass by. The Lord always has an ace up the sleeve. It's just sometimes we can't believe the ace he uses. I want to let you know this night, we are the ace up the sleeve of the Lord in such an end time, darkened time that we're living in right now. The Lord's saying, you're the guy, you're my man, you're my daughter, you're the one I'm going to use. Seven of his sons passed before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? Jesse replies, amen. There is still the youngest, Jesse answered, but he is tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy with a fine appearance and handsome features. You would probably wonder, what did he really look like? Amen, let's go on. Then the Lord said, rise, anoint him. He is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah. Finish off on 14. Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. In verse 7, the word of the Lord says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance. The Lord knew what Samuel was looking at, or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. I open up with the verse, this is not just for women, but this is for men also. Your breakthrough does not come by what you look like. Too many times it falls more heavily on women than it does men. But nowadays it's a close. Too many times we're looking for our breakthrough by what we look like in the mirror, to what we're able to see in the mirror, our reflection, and we work it and we work it and we work it. I thank the Lord that I spend literally 2 or 3 minutes, and as long as it takes to shave, put gel in my hair, brush my teeth, I'm out of that mirror. And I could care less if my wife thinks I'm looking hot that day or not looking hot. I could care less. Because I'm OG, I come from the old school, and I know the biblical truth that the Lord is concerned with what my heart looks like. But so many people this Christmas are going to be spending so much money to bring about their appearance to look better than it really looks. They're going to spend all this money. Some are willing to go as far as to make things bigger, make things smaller, have facelifts, nose job, ear jobs, and other kind of jobs. See, if I was in the rehab, I would have kept going with that line right there, amen? Your breakthrough does not come by what you look like. And if you would just spend the time with Jesus that you spend in front of the mirror, every last one of you would be preaching up here behind this pulpit. If you were to tie this pen of spending all that money on things to make you look better, you would be blessed of the Lord this night. Your breakthrough does not come by what you look like. I put here, your breakthrough comes with what's taking place in your heart, with what your heart looks like. Some of you need a makeover, an inwardly heart makeover. Pastor, I want one. I want one. What do I got to do? I give you the answer here. I put here, a true relationship with the Lord is what allows your heart to be noticed by the Lord. You want a makeover for Jesus? Some of you this New Year's, you don't have to wait to New Year's. Your resolution should be, I'm going to have a makeover done on my heart. It's not on the notes. The Lord's giving me some little stuff right now. Little stuff. This New Year, my heart, I'm gonna take my heart appearance to another level where it can be noticed by the Lord. I put here on the side, what looks attractive to you and I may not be attractive to the Lord. What looks attractive to you and I, it may not be attractive to the Lord. Simple points. Verse 12. The Bible reads, so he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy with a fine appearance. King David really had it. Young David had it going on. He had the outward appearance and the inward appearance. So he sent out and had him brought in. He was ruddy with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. He is the one. Why? His heart was right with the Lord. I was sharing with somebody earlier before the service here that a lot of times we can feel that we're being overlooked, that I'm missing it, my wife's missing it, your leader, whatever life group you're in, is missing it. Your boss is missing at it. You've been working the hardest, but he just promoted somebody else. She just promoted somebody else. Here in the life of young David, his very own father missed it. He didn't even bring him in as one of the seven. He was the eighth youngest son of his, of Jesse. And Samuel had told him to bring his sons. And Jesse missed it with his youngest son called David. Samuel, the prophet of God, missed it also. He's seen the appearance of young David's oldest son, said, surely this is the one that stands before the Lord. Even Samuel, the prophet, missed it. The very own brothers of young David missed it also. They missed it. They couldn't see what was in their youngest brother. They missed it. I want you to get a hold of this one. A little further up in Scripture, even Goliath, the giant, missed it. And what was in that young boy's life? Say, what do you think I am, a dog? You come with me with sticks? David says, no, I don't come. I come in the Spirit of the Lord and the power of the Lord. Even the giant could not see. And here this night, people may be missing it in what's taking place in your life, but there was somebody on this day did not miss it, and it was the Lord. You got to get to a place of maturity so where it don't matter what he says, what she says, what your husband says, what your wife says, what your children say about you. As long as you know your conscience is clear before the Lord and your heart is clean, it just simply matters at the end of the day what the Lord says about your heart, about the appearance of your heart. See, a lot of times what people say about us is partially true. And we get bent and we get mad. Because we're caught up in the outer appearance, which is to me the flesh. And we get angry, we get mad, we get prideful. But if you're spending time with the Lord, he will show you what needs to be worked on within your life. If you want the appearance of your heart to be noticed and attractive before the Lord. These messages I'm getting real fast, they're real simple. I guess what makes them real powerful to my life is because I'm living these messages I'm giving you right now. And I started off in that lonely shepherd's field, thinking I was being overlooked, doing all the work. Doing everything, no money in my pockets. So I know what it feels like being overlooked and working the hardest and being obedient and still not being able to see the fruits of the Spirit upon my life. But little did I know in that lonely shepherd's field that the Lord was doing something in my heart that high-paying job could not do. that that nice car could not do, that that beautiful woman could not do, that mom and dad could not do. The Lord was doing a work in my heart. The little that I know that years down the line would separate me from the rest. Too many times we feel that we're being overlooked and we start feeling sad for ourselves. We start feeling lonely. There's nothing better than being lonely with Jesus. Amen. There's nothing better than being lonely with Jesus. There's nothing better than being lonely and all bummed out with Jesus. Than being lonely because you're in sin. Being lonely because you've been rejected by the Lord. There's nothing wrong with being lonely in Jesus. He's the one and the only one you need. There's times that we have to go through seasons of feeling lonely. It's God's way of just being able to speak to you one-on-one and spending time with you, because when everything's going good with everybody, you can spend unwisely all your time with everybody that's looking at your outer appearance. And there's times that the Lord will take you to a lonely season. For you can be lonely one-on-one with Him. Too many times we want that money. We want money, money, money. Want that car. We want this. I was sharing with the guys. One was kind of complaining that he didn't have no tires on his car. I felt a little bad for him, but then I said, wait a minute. How many months ago did I wreck my van? 6 months ago, my insurance gave me back $32,000. Just about anybody would have gone and got him another vehicle. It's been 6 months, but you know what? It feels like I go, hey, Tammy, can I borrow your car? And suddenly she goes, yeah, Pastor, she's that busy. And then suddenly she goes, yeah, okay, Pastor. And I'm like, oh, man, I didn't like that. Yeah, Pastor. And I go and I get the keys from her. And I'm driving around in a little Honda Civic. I could have got me a car 6 months ago, but I'm looking out for all of you. I'm looking out for all of you. I could care less what I drive. I'm looking out for all of you. I'm looking out for this church. I'm looking out for this city, and I'm not going to let a fancy car mess up a deal that God has in motion. I got the money. I said, it's one thing not to get a vehicle because you ain't got the money. It's another thing to not get a vehicle when you got the money. Which one's harder? Then we were cruising by Carlos today, man. I wanted to look at him. I wanted to look at him because I got the money. And don't think it's your money. It's still my dad's money, amen, that I put back into the deal to break the loan on this church. Jumping in, even I humbled myself, even used Jason's car the other day. Got a trunk full of speakers, got a big old TV screen there. What the heck? I didn't know Jason had it going on like this. We got to mature to the things that are important. We got to mature to what's really important in your life right now. And too many times we want to show that we got it going on by what we got on the outer instead of what we got in our heart that can transform people's lives, our life. But God didn't miss it. He said, that's the one. God didn't miss it. He never misses it. He's never early. He's never late. He's just on time. Amen. Oh, he's just on time. But too many times we're not looking for him because we've been looking for him early and he didn't come when we wanted him to come. So we stopped looking for him and we put our hustle on. And then he shows up and says, where are you at? Where's she at? She's been praying. Where are they at? He don't come when we want him. So we take our focus and our faith from this area that counts on Jesus. And we go and we start this plan. When Jesus knows when to bring that plan to pass. Y'all give me some toilet paper. Toilet paper, tissues, whatever it's called. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 11 and 16, still in chapter 16, the Bible reads, so we asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? He says, no, they're still the youngest, Jesse answered, but he is tending the sheep. He's tending the sheep. It was a low-grade job there, tending the sheep, amen? In chapter 17, verse 28, we speed up a little bit forward in time there of the day there of Goliath. And Eliab, David's oldest brother, is where it says it was his oldest, amen, the one Samuel thought was the one. David's older brother heard him speaking with the man, and he burned with anger at him and asked, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? In 1 Samuel 16, 13, the Bible records, so Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Here David was anointed in the presence of his brothers. Simple question, what anointed and empowered young David's life? It was that shepherd's field in the desert. It was that shepherd field in the desert that not only anointed, but empowered the life of young David. It was that lonely place in the desert where young David would be obedient to the assignment of taking care of the few sheep. That would allow the appearance of his heart to be right and beautiful before the Lord. It was that lonely place in the desert. I put here obedience in the little things. It's what anointed and empowered the life of David in a place that only the Lord could be the source, which was the desert. Too many times we rush off to work, there's no prayer taking place. You got to get to that desert setting. There's got to be a place in your house where you pray all the time. There's got to be a place where you pray all the time to the Lord on a good day or bad day. It's in that place that the Lord will start to change your heart, the appearance of your heart, the way your heart is used to flowing, usually wicked and bad all the time. It's in that, I call my time of prayer that desert time. It's a separation. It's just my little office and a dog in a cage and me and the Lord. It's my desert time with Jesus. It's a place where everything that is taking place within our church is given to me in that little room. It's my desert. It's a place where I know the Lord gives me the revelation. It's a place of the desert where the Lord is able to take me from glory to glory. Sometimes the place of my desert is neat and clean. Sometimes it's dirty. Amen? Right now, it's dirty. Amen. There's hair all around the dog cage right there. And the dog looks at me like, I ain't going to vacuum it. You need to have that lonely place, environment in the desert to spend time with Jesus. It's one thing to pray by yourself. It's another thing to pray here on a Wednesday when everybody's here. It's not so much of a desert setting. It's a corporate prayer. But the one the Lord really loves is when it's just you and Him in the desert, the shepherd field of the desert. That's what anointed young David. That's what allowed him to have a right heart before the Lord. His obedience in taking care of the few sheep. Your life group you're overseeing. The few sheep you're overseeing I touched on Sunday can anoint and empower your life and give you results that your job on its best day cannot do. That life group that has sheep, some goats, whatever is coming to your life group, amen, is a place where the Lord is looking to see who He can anoint and empower. So I say, don't take that life group for granted. It's a place where the Lord's anointing men and women to be empowered to face the giants around the corner. The rehabs, the men's home, the women's home, that can at times become a very poor, me, lonely desert place. She don't want me no more. He don't want me no more. I don't got no money. Man, there was a time where I was rolling, dog. I had it going on in the devil. And anytime you got it going on in the devil, it's just for a short season. It's a privilege to be at the rehab. It's a privilege to be able to get to the Lord 2 times, 3 times a day. It's a privilege. It's a place where the Lord anoints men and women. And that's why our ministries all over the world, the backbone and foundation is the rehabs, and where Pastor Sonny would open his garage and start the very first rehab, where elders would come into that first rehab. It was a place where the Lord would come down and anoint and appoint and empower men for the ministry. That is now, 50 years later, all over the world with a bunch of ex-misfits like you and I. But they were able to get in an atmosphere, in a time and place where the Lord could come down and anoint to appoint, to empower, to fulfill the calling upon their lives. Those that are in the rehab, the Lord's looking at your heart. Not how hard you work, not how loud you pray. You can be praying the loudest up in there and have the worst heart in that home. Remember, the Lord is not looking at the outer appearance, how, what you look like, what shoes you're wearing. He's looking at your heart. He's doing heart surgery. And too many times we're complaining and murmuring and wanting to break and wanting to leave and all this stuff. You're always moving. And He can't do that heart work that He wants to do in your life. Prayer time in your room. It's a place where the Lord anoints and appoints and empowers. Even though you can't see what the use is of being there an hour, two, three, 4 hours in the presence of the Lord, the worship music going on, even though we can't see it, that is, my friend, what changes one's heart to becoming a heart after God's own heart. Point last Sunday. It's not that we can't be obedient in the little things, I said last Sunday. It's not that we can't pray for an hour. It's not that we can't read. It's not that we can't serve in the ministry. The reason many people don't make it, it's not because they can't do it. It's just simply because it's something new that the Lord is doing. It's something that they're not acquainted with and used for. It's an area they're not used to getting down like that. I used to say, homie, don't play that stuff, that church stuff. Now I say, homie, don't play that, the worldly stuff. It's not that you can't do it. It's just that it's something new. It's something awkward. It's something weird. It's something that has never been done by you. It's not a lifestyle. And that's why the rehab's a year long. It needs to become a lifestyle where you're able to carry it with you after you leave the home. It's got to be a lifestyle where you continue to hunger and thirst, where you just say, you have a conviction where you know, you got to go pray. Even if you're having the best morning of your life, you know, you got to go pray. It's not that we can't be obedient to the little things. They're simply new things. Why ex-gangsters, ex-pimps, and ex-alcohol just shy away from the things of God. It's not my cup of tea, man. Homie, don't get down like that. I don't do that stuff, man. I'll do that, but I ain't going to do that. Yeah, I'll pray, but I ain't going to pray out loud. God knows my heart. That's why you got to pray out loud. Something new that the Lord's wanting to do. I says, if you ain't happy with your life right now, it's about time you try something new in Jesus. If you ain't getting results right now, it's not because you're missing the big things, you're missing the little things that you're able to do. It's just something new, it's something different. It's something that you're not used to doing. Every last one of y'all can fulfill the calling of God. You got to listen to what I'm saying between the lines right now. Every last one of y'all can fulfill the call of God upon your lives. Every last one of you. I am sure of it. Every last one of y'all can fulfill the calling of God upon your life. But I would have to ask, are you spending that desert quiet time with the Lord? Are you spending time with the Lord? Have you been lonely in Jesus lately? Because too many times we get lonely and we run to the opposite sex. Pastor, man, I can't go out like this no more, man. I'm burning, man. The Bible says if you're going to burn by all means, I'm burning, Pastor. I'm lusting. Maybe if you were to spend some lonely time with Jesus, he would cover that area in your life to do it when the time is right. But loneliness always wants to be taken care of. One way or the other, loneliness always wants to be taken care of. Loneliness always wants to be, amen, embraced, loved, cared for. Who are you allowing to love and embrace you lately? Is it the Lord or somebody that you know shouldn't be doing that? Who have you been allowing to embrace you and love you lately? And this is where we run into the problems of not being able to answer the call of God. This is where we're not able to do the simple things because we're in sin. sin will allow you to miss out on the calling that God has upon your life. Sin will not allow you to take care of the little things. Sin will fill the place that Jesus wants to fill within your heart. But you'll never get enough of sin. You'll have to keep feeding more and more. One hit a crack, man. Not even for a beginner's enough. Hit after hit after hit after hit after hit. They'll say, well, drinking one drink's not enough and one drink's too many or something like that. Amen? It wasn't meant to fill the void within your heart. Jesus was meant to fill the void within your heart. What have you been filling your heart with lately will determine if the Lord's going to anoint you or not, empower you or not, give you breakthrough or not. Stay in front of that mirror, putting makeup on you for 2 or 3 hours. Jesus got to call upon your life. There's been a price paid in full in order for us to have victory here this night. And even though you're going through something, and even though we're living in the end times, darkened times, hard times, we have Jesus. I'll use a little point for my son. It's going to be good. This is going to be good this time, but the Christmas thing is going to be good. I'm being woken up at night, and I got a little notepad next to my bed. Man, I was in the restroom because I didn't want to turn the light on in my bedroom with my wife. So I went to the toilet, put the lid down. I sat down, and I was taking notes in Jesus on the toilet at 3 in the morning. Pastor, you give too much information. It's the truth, man. I'll show you all the little stickies, a whole long thing of stickies, man. I was getting revelation in my bathroom by God that I know is of God. And he keeps adding to the play. There's a play that he keeps adding to the play. And we all know the verse that there was no room for a little baby Jesus in the inn. And I believe we're still living in the same times where there's no room in your life for Jesus, because you're not making room for Jesus to abide in your life. He says, abide in me and I will abide in you. Are you making room for Jesus? Or is there no room in the inn of your heart? Because you got other things going on. You got other things you got to figure out. Because ain't nobody going to pay your bills for you. Verse 14. Discipleship always starts and ends with obedience. Let's go to 13. It says, so Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. 14 says, as we go to verse 14, the Bible reads, now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. I have a one-liner for that one. Disobedience will always replace you with someone else. That was one of the favorite lines of my pastor. He would always say that. Hey, if you don't answer the call, he'll get someone else to answer it. It might even be a person of less talents and gifts than you, but that's obedient. Here, Saul was the king. He had been anointed and everything, but yet the anointing and the empowerment was transferred over to a young boy that was right in his heart, that was taking care of the little things in the shepherd's field, being obedient. I said last Sunday, your little acts of obedience will result in big victories. Young David's acts of obedience resulted in knocking out and killing the giant. Your little acts of obedience will produce. Disobedience will always replace you with someone else. Wouldn't it have been better if King Saul would have been right and raised up young David under him? There would have been two guys that are anointed. See, a lot of times the Lord's anointing people in the church, but one's falling out just to anoint another one. One's falling out, and we're not going nowhere. Because there's a replacement taking place every day. Instead of the anointing jumping off from one to the next, and to the next, and to the next member, and to the next member too many times, the anointing's jumping off on somebody's life because it's replacing somebody that's in disobedience. My question is this night, have you been replaced and still in church here this night? The anointing needs to jump from person to person. But too many times God's placing His Spirit and bringing His anointing just to replace the man or the woman, the youth member, in disobedience. And there's a maintenance taking place in the church instead of an explosion of the anointing of the Lord. Got to keep working. Come on. Simple message, but it's the truth, man. I've seen it for 20 years take place with great men of God, great women of God, be replaced, literally replaced. I don't know what it feels like to have the Spirit leave my life of the Lord, the anointing. I've never experienced that, and I don't want to experience that. It's hard as it is with the anointing and the empowerment of Jesus upon my life. I don't want to do that experiment. I don't want that experiment. I choose to just walk in my office every day. And sometimes my office seat would turn into a toilet seat. Because God's not looking at the outward appearance. He can give you revelation in the bathroom. He can do it in the office. He can do it in your car, anywhere. When you're giving Him time and you're appreciating what He did for your life and you're grateful, it will want you to spend time with Jesus. They ain't nothing, man. Heroin was a good high. Crack was okay. But heroin was a good high. I mean, loaded heroin. But man, it don't come close just to being drunk in the Spirit with in my little old chair there in my office. Don't come close. Just thinking with the Lord every day, writing notes, jotting this note, jotting this note, jotting this note, getting this thought before I come up, getting another little thought. Because I know those little thoughts are from the Lord and they're important. I don't need a big revelation today to say, wow. I just need the joy of the Lord, the song that said, the Lord is my joy, however the song went. Just, it blew my mind. The little things. It don't take something big to blow my mind no more. It don't take the parting of the Red Sea to get my attention no more. Just the little things that the Lord throws my way that I'm able to catch. The little things. That tells me Jesus is with me as we stand here this night. This ain't the part two. Sunday's got a part two coming. Come in to sing, girls, please. This altar call, amen, this night is important for your life. You want to make it at your chair, you make it at your chair. If I could do it on the toilet, you can do it at your chair. But there's something when we come to the Lord. There's something about coming to the Lord. There's something, once again, about these altars that allows one to hunger and thirst for more of Jesus. Whatever the song is, whatever the song is. The altars are open. You need to speak with God here this night. Come and speak with God. wants to one day say that he's the one. She's the one. He's just looking for someone to say that's the one. And he wants to show me, as he showed Samuel. The Lord is showing me more things now. And the Lord shows me now who he wants to anoint at times. He shows me who he's raising up. And it's usually those that could care less what they look like. And no